Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We're studying the book of 1 Corinthians, Serve in Unity. In this session, we'll be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the second part of verse 4, Love is Content. Let's read that larger passage there, beginning with verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 13. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. In these verses, Paul defines the dimensions of love. Each characteristic of love is like a folder in a file. Today's folder, the second part of verse 4, has a label that reads, love does not envy. If we were to state that phrase positively, it would read something like, love is content with the object of its affection. Open the folder and try to get a better understanding of this phrase. What do we need to know about envy? Well, first of all, envy has a dark side and a lot of history. Satan's plan to rule heaven. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12, down to verse 15. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Satan was so full of pride that he began to envy the very throne of heaven. That means he wanted what belongs to God. Ultimate authority and worship. God answered Satan's pride by casting him out of heaven in shame and humiliation. And then, in this dark side of this history, Satan's seduction of Eve in Genesis chapter 3, verse 4, down to verse 6. And then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. After Satan convinced Eve that God was withholding something from her, she began to envy the one thing she did not have. And in God's prohibition of envy, Exodus chapter 20, verse 17, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. The last of the Ten Commandments prohibits envy. The word covet is synonymous with the word envy. The root word of the word translated envy is to boil. In the New Testament, envy is identified as a work of the flesh. It is associated with strife in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. It's associated with bitterness in James chapter 3, verse 14, with lust in James chapter 4, verse 5, with verbal attacks in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 26, and in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. And second, envy has a predictable development process. How does envy manifest itself in relationships? I mean, what are the stages of its development? Well, the first stage of envy, discontentment because of unfulfilled expectations. Envy finds an opening in our lives when we become dissatisfied with someone who fails to live up to our expectations. We can become discontent with another's performance or behavior in comparison to our expectations. The second stage of envy, disillusionment. Confusion enters our thoughts. James chapter 3 and verse 16 reads, "For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there." Nurturing discontentment leads to disillusionment. We begin to look at each other and our circumstances differently, negatively, thinking things like, "I never thought it would be like this. I thought they were supposed to love me. Why can't we get along? What is pulling us apart?" And stage three of envy, deception. Infatuation with an illusion. Envy focuses on the illusion of someone who can meet our emotional and our physical needs and expectations. Next begin unfair comparisons to others. Your spouse, your child, your friend can't measure up to a coworker or a celebrity on TV. And then stage four of envy is desire. I can't live without it. The advertising industry has mastered this ploy of the devil. They convince people that an illusion can bring them happiness or significance. They appeal to some felt need, and then the boiling process fires up. The message we tell ourselves sounds like this: I like it. I need it. I want it. I cannot live without it. I will do anything to get what I want. Those that continue to boil inside towards someone else will break relationships and consider ending marriages. This is envy at work. And then stage five of envy, destruction. The relationship is damaged. The damage is not irreparable at this point, but is serious. The truth is, we can guard against destruction by recognizing envy in its inception. So, how do we overcome envy? We can resist the temptation toward envy by honest confession. The fact that this sin made God's top 10 indicates that it is a serious issue regarding relationships. We may think a little envy is healthy, but God says it's dangerous. We can resist temptation toward envy by self-control over our thoughts. You cannot always control temptation. You can always control your mind. The Bible tells us to bring every thought captive to Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. We can resist temptation toward envy by consideration of others. We can overcome envy if we would consider the feelings of others and our own shortcomings. We can also resist the temptation toward envy by practicing contentment. Do you remember how to state this characteristic from a positive perspective? Love is content with the object of its affection. While the case studies on envy are many, few events illustrate the dangers of envy more than the house of David and Bathsheba. When King David looked from his housetop and saw Bathsheba taking a bath, he could never have imagined the pain and heartache that he was about to create. As a result of David's sin, his whole family disintegrated into a series of domestic crises. You can trace the trouble in his home in 2 Samuel. His son Amnon raped his half-sister Tamar. In retaliation, Tamar's brother Absalom murdered Amnon. Then Absalom led a conspiracy against his father David. Absalom also committed adultery with David's concubines. And eventually, David's military leader, Joab, killed Absalom. According to the prophet Nathan, that chain of events transpired because of David's moral failure with Bathsheba. That's in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. Envy never produces the gain that it anticipates. It, however, creates much pain. So Paul says, love does not envy. You have a great day.